Welcome to Practical Christian Living.
We have a book with 150 chapters, and the very first word in that book is blessed. I think God's telling us something. He's telling us that if we will learn the principles and live them from the book of Psalms, that we indeed will be blessed. And the word blessed here means much more than happy. It means that we are blessed in the opposite way that someone is cursed.
When we walk in obedience toward Christ, read His Word, and apply it to our lives, we are promised we will be blessed. Psalm 1 gives us instructions on how to walk righteously, that is, how to please God. We are in our Essentials series here on Practical Christian Living, making certain that we have the necessary foundation in our lives to have a healthy, right relationship with God. If you've missed any teachings in our series, or you'd like to hear them again, you can go to calvarytucson.com and click on Teachings to access our teaching archives. Now with part two of our teaching on the importance of Scripture out of Psalm 1, here's Robert Furrow, pastor of Calvary Tucson.
We learned that we can trust the Old Testament, that those Masoretic scribes that copied it did it effectively. In the New Testament, we have 5,600 manuscripts of the New Testament. That's an amazing number. You know, scholars will put a whole lot more emphasis upon Homer's Iliad than they do upon the Bible. They'll say it's much more valuable historically than the Bible is. Why? Because the Bible's written by Christians, and we know that these Christians have changed things. It's the same exact argument. But Homer's Iliad, that we can trust historically. Do you know the manuscript evidence of Homer's Iliad is nowhere near the manuscript evidence of the Bible? There is no book out there that has the manuscript evidence that the Bible does. 5,600 Greek manuscripts, 10,000 Latin manuscripts, 500 other manuscripts written in Coptic and other languages. And on top of that, the early church fathers all quoted from manuscripts they had that we don't have anymore. So we are able, through the early church fathers, to reconstruct the entire New Testament except for 12 verses. That's again amazing. We can actually compare the manuscripts with what the early church fathers quoted. They weren't making copies, but what they quoted to see whether or not they are accurate. In the end, we can have great confidence in the Word of God. In the end, I can trust in what is said here. But you know what? I didn't need all that New Testament manuscript evidence to believe the New Testament's accurate. I didn't need those Old Testament Masoretes and knowing how accurate they were when they wrote the Bible, like the discovery of the Dead Sea Scrolls. Because I have I have Psalms 12, verses 5, 6, and 7. Every word of God is pure, and He will preserve it from generation to generation. God has promised that He would preserve His word for you and I. And in spite of the manuscript evidence, and I understand the world needs that. I understand those who believe don't believe in God. They need to know that the Dead Sea Scrolls were found and backed up, that people didn't go in and tweak the Bible. Those early Christians were honest. They weren't tweaking things to make them say more about what they wanted it to say. They were honest about their faith, and those things were here. Now let's consider what it means to us to understand and love and know the Word of God. Verse 1 of Psalms chapter 1, there is a principle in Bible study that is called the principle of the first occurrence. That is that if you're ever studying, whatever you're studying, if you want to study parenting or marriage, you go to the first place in the Bible that that's introduced. And there's usually a significance to it. It's the principle of the first occurrence in Bible study. Oftentimes, when I cover a topic within a passage, I will go and look for the first place it's mentioned or the first place that it was actually done. And there's oftentimes significance that is there. Therefore, the first word of the book of Psalms, the first chapter, the first verse, the first word are significant in that principle. We have a book with 150 chapters, and the very first word in that book is blessed. I think God's telling us something. He's telling us that if we will learn the principles and live them from the book of Psalms, that we indeed will be blessed. And the word blessed here means much more than happy. It means that we are blessed in the opposite way that someone is cursed. If an individual is cursed, that means there's something working behind the scenes in a negative way in their lives. In fact, do you know that the Bible tells us that before we came to Jesus, each of us was cursed? We were cursed by death and we were cursed by sin. and that Jesus hung up on the cross, and the Bible says that everybody that hangs on a tree is cursed, and that he took our curse from us. Isn't that good to know? Sin and death are no longer working behind the scenes in my life. I am no longer cursed, but I'm quite the opposite. I'm blessed. God is working to work everything out towards my good. Even the bad things that happen to me, even the difficult things that happen to me, God is using them to good in my life. Even, for an example, if we had a building that took 2.5 years to build, God's working that out for the good in my life. I don't like it, but I believe it. I believe that God is working out all those things for our good. Now, before God can get positive, often he's got to get negative. That's what he does in Psalms 1. Before he gets positive about what the Word of God does in our lives, he tells us some negative things. If we don't trust in God's Word, but we trust in people, this is what we can expect. Now, there are those today who say you've got to get positive. First of all, don't get negative. Negative has, you know, negative energy that gets into your life. It's a bad thing. However, we all understand sometimes you got to get negative, don't we? Every once in a while, I watch a show with my wife called What Not to Wear. You ladies are aware of that show? And I am sorry that I've confessed that to you. I feel ashamed and embarrassed. But nevertheless, I have watched the show when my wife made me, okay? That's why, guys, I promise, all right? Now, in this show, they'll take this poor gal who dresses horribly. She's like a really bad dresser. They'll make her put on her clothes and then stand in front of a mirror, and these two will berate that poor gal to tears, literally. What were you thinking? And look the way you look. And you are blah, blah, blah. And the girl, blah. I thought it looked good and I liked them, right? Right? I got the show nailed, don't I? And then they will give her some education. This is what looks good. This is what doesn't look good. And then she goes to the store and she buys her clothes. Usually she buys identical clothes, by the way. In the episodes I've watched, not many of them, she'll buy identical clothes. And then the end of the show finally shows up. And they've had to go and reinforce some of these principles. And she walks out in her new outfit, right? And she looks unbelievable compared to what she looked like before. And there's all of her friends and all of her family. Right? Because she's so radically changed. Oh, look at you. Oh, right? You don't look like an idiot anymore. You don't dress like a total and complete slob anymore. Well, before God can tell us what we need to do to change, God's got to tell us we look horrible. Before we can have that moment with God, oh, look at you spiritually, we have to know there's some things that we cannot do, all right? That's where this is. Verse 1, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. The ungodly have different views, different concepts. They have different ways that they want things to end and finish. And when we need advice, if we go to the ungodly to ask for that advice, listen, even the ungodly who are successful, we end up having views that are not going to help us at all. We as Christians will not be blessed by listening to the counsel and the advice of the ungodly. Their advice will be radically different from the advice that we find in the pages of Scripture. Now, he goes on to say, not only that we are not to walk in the counsel of the ungodly, no, we are not to stand in the path of sinners. Finding yourself in places where people sin is always devastating. And I'll tell you why. Because opportunity is the sting of temptation. Sometimes people defend themselves. Well, you know what? I go to bars, but I don't drink. And then you get drunk when you're at the bar. Well, I usually don't drink when I go to bars. But listen, you can't tell me I have freedom to go to bars as a Christian. Well, listen, you know what? Whatever. You got freedom to go to bars? Whatever. I don't think you do. But you know what? You're the one that has to make those decisions for yourself. You say you have freedom, but do you understand that when you stand in the path of sinners, you will not be blessed? Because sooner or later, you will give in to those things. Sooner or later, you will find yourself drawn to them, and you will believe different things because of the way you find yourself. It's like the guy on a diet that goes to the donut shop for his quiet time. And he says to you, how dare you say that to me? I am studying God's word in the donut shop. So I have a donut once in a while. I have every right to be there. Well, that's right. But you're not going to end up losing weight having your quiet times in the donut shop. The person who stands in the path of sinners is not blessed, nor is he who sits in the seat of the scornful. The seat of the scornful is the mocker and the overly critical. The person who can only find criticism and mocking and scorning. Notice the procession. He walks, he stands, he sits. We find ourselves getting advice from the ungodly, standing in the path of sinners, and finally an overly critical, scornful, mocking individual. Then he says, the blessed person on the other end is the person who delights in the law of the Lord, but his delight is in God's word. Now, I want you to notice that he doesn't say his delight is in reading God's word. His delight is in making sure that every day you go through it. When I was a young Christian, I was told by someone that I needed to read 2 chapters a day. And I've tried to do that throughout my life. I don't always do it. I don't want to make it sound like a spiritual. Every day of my life, I have always read the Bible. All right? Like you, I've missed days, right? Like you, there's times I haven't done it. Whoever is here that says, not me, I read it every day. Well, congratulations. I'm glad that you have. But I was told early that I needed to read a couple chapters a day. And so I try to read 2 chapters a day. And sometimes I'm going to bed at night and I go, oh, I forgot to read my Bible. And so then I pick it up. And I like to read it with a pencil or a highlighter or a pen in my hand so that I can mark someplace in the chapter that I read. So I can underline something that is said. So I get my pen out and I start to read. I'm tired. It's late. I want to get up early. Oh, there's an underline that. Thank you, God. Bless everybody in the world. I'm going to bed. Boom. Now, don't you look at me like you have never done that, all right? I'm just being honest with you guys. You guys have done the same thing. But I'm going to tell you what goes on in my mind at that point. I start to think that God is up in heaven saying, look at that Robert. He's read his Bible. I'm going to bless him tomorrow. That's pharisaical. I'm thinking that because I've been religious and done something, that it has helped me in no way. Do you think I got anything out of the speed reading I just went through? I didn't gain anything from it. The reason that we are to delight in the law of the Lord is because of what we find in the Bible. The Bible says that what we find here are treasures that are more valuable than silver and gold. Do you believe that? God's word is more valuable and we ought to delight in it. May God cause us to delight. When we pick up his word, that we would say, I get to read. And I tell you what, if you only read 5 verses, then so be it. But read it and understand it and comprehend it. Don't play the game, I got to get through 4 chapters a day or whatever it is, or 2 chapters. Read it and understand it. Let God speak to you. I tell some people, listen, just read it until God speaks to you out of it. Just be reading. And you know what you could find out? I found when I would read the Bible out of a legalistic sense, I just got to read those chapters. Whew, I'm done. I would mark it and be done. But when I found I'm going to read until I'm done, which is what I try to do now. I still fall back on the 2 chapters, by the way, because it's, you know, we're creatures of habit. But I try to read until I'm done. I'm going to read God's word until I'm done reading his word. It's like I read novels. I read novels until I'm done. I don't go, I got to read 2 chapters in this novel tonight. I haven't done that since I was in school and had to read a book. When I read a novel, I'm just reading it. So I read the Bible until I'm done. And you know what I found? I read more of it. I found that I'm, and then what happens to him? Oh yeah, okay, yeah, uh-huh. Oh, that's good. Well, that's good, right? And all of a sudden, I start finding myself really being in love with God's word. When I delight in the word, I'm excited when I pick it up to read it. When's the last time that you opened up your Bible and got that little excited chill you get? I'm not the only person that gets the excited chill, am I? Sometimes, you know, I'll tell you when I get it. I get it when I'm going to bed and I can sleep in. I don't sleep in much. I get up early and a lot. But when I get to sleep in and I lay down in bed, there's something about that. I just go, ooh, I get to sleep in tomorrow. You ever get that? That's what I'm talking about. Or maybe, you know, you're excited because you get to go to vacation. I'm going to Maui tomorrow. You lay in bed. When's the last time you opened up God's word and said, oh, I get to read God's word? That's the delight that we're to have in the law of the Lord. May God somehow cause us to love his word and delight in it. May we delight in it. God, bring that delight into my life. Now, not only that, we're to meditate on God's word day and night. This means that we read God's word in such a way that it gets into our minds. And the Bible says that the Holy Spirit can bring to remembrance everything that we've read. That when we go to bed at night, we're meditating on it. Instead of worrying about our kids or worrying about our, you know, bills, to lay down at night and to think about what we read and just to meditate upon his word. Now, if we will, there are three things here he says will happen. Number one, in verse 3, if we delight in God's law and we meditate on it day and night, we will be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. When you look at a tree planted by a river, it is significantly larger than a tree planted, maybe even at the same time, but in the middle of a field. Why? Because the tree planted by the rivers of water has tapped into its water source. You ever planted a tree in your yard and you plug in your little black tubing and your little 1 gallon per hour thing on it, right? And you set your timers to water that tree that you planted and it grows. But all of a sudden, and you've had this experience, haven't you? All of a sudden that tree taps into something. I don't know what some of the trees in our house have tapped into. Maybe a broken pipe for the pool or maybe the sewer. I have no idea. But they tap into something and all of a sudden they go. And the next thing you know, a few months later, you go, what happened to that tree? And I go over and I unplug the little gallon per hour and I cap it off because that ain't doing nothing for that tree. That tree has gone way beyond that little gallon per hour that I would give it every once in a while because it tapped into something. And I tell you what, that tree's not going to be affected by the wind. That tree's not going to be affected by the sun or a drought because that tree is tapped in. God says, I want you guys tapped in. I don't want droughts affecting you. I don't want the cold and wind to affect you. I want you tapped in. You know, it's interesting to me. One of the ways to protect your plants from drought, you know what they are? There's two ways. One of the ways to protect your plants for drought is to, from a freeze, is to cover it. We know that. You go out and you try to cover them. You hear a freeze is coming. Oh, I got to get out there and cover those plants. But you know another way to protect them is to water them. You know, when I found that out, I thought, that doesn't seem right to me. Because the more water you have in a plant, you think the more it's going to freeze. But then I guess it makes sense when you think about it, because now it's got more water to protect from the freeze. And unless it's a hard freeze, it doesn't freeze. I would turn the water off on my bougainvilleas at my house in early November, usually. But then I would drive around town and I would see other bougainvilleas that were happy. Why are those bougainvilleas happy with all kinds of flowers, but mine are dead from the freeze, the one freeze that happened so far? It's because I stopped watering them. I learned to water them, and now, folks, my bougainvilleas are happy. A little bit of bragging going on. Bougainvilleas in my house are happy. There are flowers all around them. They last much longer into the wintertime, and in the spring, they're much healthier if I continue to water them until they get to that completely dormant spot where they are completely dormant. Well, so it is in our lives. When we tap in, life around us can freeze. Or the storms can come and the difficulties can come, but because we've tapped into the Word of God, we're not affected by it. He will be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season. I have found that some Christians begin to get frustrated with God because there's no fruit in our lives. Or God doesn't begin to use us. And we say, Lord, I want to be used by you and I want to see the fruit. But understand, the fruit comes in its season. There's a time that God has to prepare you for the fruit. If a tree is too young and it produces too large of a fruit, that can significantly damage a tree. Because the weight of the fruit bears down on it and breaks the branches, it hurts the tree. You had that happen? You had a tree produce too much fruit and it snaps the branch, it ends up damaging the tree. God understands that if he gives some of you guys fruit, you're going to be so prideful that it's going to snap, it's going to hurt you. And so God gives you the fruit in its season. Just be patient. Just tap into the water source, the water of the Word. Just allow God to bring the richness in his time, and the time for you to be used by God will come. He then goes on to say, whose leaves also do not wither. When we're tapped into the water source, even in the midst of the biggest droughts in our lives, our leaves don't wither. Hey, we understand what it's like for the desert in July. Early July, we've gone through May, and we've gone through June. We've gone through 105 degrees of the dry weather, right? And we look out at the hillside and we go, wow, that's brown. It is brown and it is ugly. But then the monsoons come. And after a couple weeks of the monsoons, we're stunned, aren't we? How many times every year do we say to our spouse, look at how green it is. Look at how the things have just greened up. It's amazing. That's what happens in our lives. God brings the water of the Word into our lives, and what was brown now is green. And if we'll stay tapped in, the droughts, the freezes, the difficulties, and the hardship will not make a difference in our lives. And finally, he says at the end of verse 1, and whatever he does will prosper. Now, we're not talking about money, right? Because money, this is going to be a shock to some of you guys. Money isn't going to bring you happiness. Money, for some of you guys, has become an idol, and God says, get rid of it. You say, but I need money. I'm not talking about getting rid of money. I'm talking about getting rid of the idea, the concept that money is going to bring happiness in your life. It's not. When will we learn? The most miserable among us are the richest among us. Just read the tabloids. Just read, well, maybe don't read the tabloids, but just read, just look at the lives of those that are the richest among us. They're the strangest among us. Like Donald Trump or like the late Michael Jackson. They were the weirdest among us. Why didn't their money make them happy? Because money doesn't make you happy. When the Bible talks about prosperity, it's talking about real prosperity. It's talking about really prospering in everything that you do. I want the things that I'm involved in to prosper. I don't want them to fail. I want real prosperity in every aspect of my life. God told Joshua, only be careful to do all that is written in the Word of God, and then you will prosper, and then you will have success. Now, I've gone too long. Some of you guys say amen. I want to close with this thought. Delight yourself in the law of the Lord. If you don't have an absolute love for God's Word, there's nothing that has been handed down to us from God like what we have in our hands now. This is a love letter written to us. This is God's signed card. It's a long card. Guys, when they read cards, let me just give you some insight, ladies, into us. We open up the cards because we have to. Okay, first of all, we want to go right to the present, but we open up the cards because we have to. And a lot of times, we just pretend to read it. Okay, that's nice. Now what'd you get me? Let's not treat God's Word like a card. Especially, by the way, if it isn't handwritten. If it's handwritten by you gals, you write something in there, then we're more likely to read it. If it's just a card and you spend hours picking it out, you picked it out, this is perfect for my husband. But when we look at it, somebody else wrote it. Who cares? I mean, just, you know. If you handwrite it, we read that. Let's read God's card. Let's love to read God's Word. Let's fall in love and delight ourselves in the Word. And folks, our lives will never be the same. We will be like trees that are planted by the rivers of water. And we will stand even in the midst of the darkest, most difficult droughts, heat waves, freezes, whatever comes our way. Because we are established in God's Word. Let's stand up and pray. Father, we want to thank you for the time we've been able to spend here today talking about your Word. It is indeed rich. It is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. It does not return back void. It works in the hearts of those of us who believe. It gets into the very soul and spirit. It does not return back void, and it produces fruit of 60, 30, and 100 fold when falling upon a good heart. And we pray that you would allow us to have a love for your Word, not out of a legalistic, pharisaical mindset that I got to read your Word, but because we love it, because we want to know it. And thank you. I thank you, Lord, for this room of people, the vast majority who have been drawn to Calvary because of the emphasis we put upon your Word. I know I'm speaking to a room full of people who love your Word, and that this is just an encouragement to us. And we thank you for this. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
We hope that Practical Christian Living helps you to live God's Word, that we might be doers and not just hearers. If you'd like to hear more of Robert Furrow's teachings, go to calvarytucson.com. where you'll find recordings from our weekday and weekend services at Calvary Tucson, and also archives of Practical Christian Living programs. We are grateful for your donations that help fund the production and broadcast of Practical Christian Living. You can donate simply and securely. Here's how. Log on to calvarytucson.com. Click on Donate, then select PCL Radio. Or you can mail your donation to Calvary Tucson, PCL Radio, 5170 South Julian Drive, that's Julian Drive, Tucson, Arizona, 85706. And when you donate $25 or more, we'll send you a copy of Pastor Daniel Fusco's book, Honestly. In it, Daniel reminds us that even when life gets messy and unpredictable, Jesus is still there, and Jesus is real. Thanks for supporting and listening to Practical Christian Living with Robert Furrow. We pray that you come to know the grace and peace that can only come from Jesus, and that you would walk closer with Him every day.